This is the Planning Development Committee meeting for September 21st, 2006. The agenda has been previously distributed. If there's no amendments to be offered and no objections, then by unanimous consent, we'll accept the agenda as presented. Minutes of the June 1st meeting have been previously distributed and before the committee. Do members have any amendments, corrections?
She should just call me. I guess she was just going to get that.
Well, actually, I look around and I see Mrs. Hodges.
No. Yeah, I guess she can. She can.
Deborah, can we figure out what that means? Can we tell Kathy to just inform me?
All right, bear with me one moment, and then we'll take our first action. We have two action items this morning, one being the Glenmont parking garage. Second, larger item, the IT strategic business plan, which we were briefed on several months ago. And then we have two information items, one being the regional bus conference that's coming up, and some of the discussion of what the plans are for that, and the station signage upgrade, which I think is maybe the most exciting thing on the agenda in some ways. And then we're going to try and quickly get out of here and into the next committee meeting, since we have a couple of committee meetings and a board meeting, and about 3 hours to do all that in. So,
okay. Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. It's a good thing we're talking about the IT strategic plan. Oh, no, there it works.
There we go.
Okay, we got the infrastructure working again. But I'd like to introduce Mr. Higgins, who's going to talk a little bit, and introduce his staff, talk a little bit about the Glenmont 3 parking garage, and the approval of the supplemental public hearing staff report and our staff recommendations.
Good morning to everyone. Mr. John Thomas, our acting director of construction, who is not going to join us at the table, but project manager for our parking program, and our environmental compliance officer, Mr. Jim Ash, will take you through the staff recommendation for a new 1,200-space parking garage at the Glenmont Metrorail station. Jim?
Hi, good morning. On April 26th, the Board of Directors held a public hearing on a Montgomery County-requested expansion of parking at the Glenmont Metrorail station. More than 50 people commented either in writing or at the hearing. Two alternatives were presented at the hearing. Alternative A consists of a 1,200-space parking structure located on the west side of Georgia Avenue. Montgomery County is considering construction of a fire station if alternative A is selected. Alternative B consists of a six-level, 925-space structure located on the east side of Georgia Avenue. After the hearing, Montgomery County voted to fund construction of alternative A. In July of this year, staff released a public hearing staff report, which recommended selection of alternative A along with a number of mitigation measures. Staff's recommendation is based on the cost analysis. Alternative A is less expensive than alternative B and provides more parking structures. WMATA received two letters commenting on the public hearing staff report. Those comments and staff responses are presented in the supplemental public hearing staff report. Staff now requests approval of the supplemental public hearing staff report, including recommendations and general plans and amendment of the adopted regional system to include the new parking structure.
Mr. Brescusa.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the recommendation of the staff and commend them for a win-win situation, parking which is desperately needed, working with the community to build a garage that's acceptable to them, and being able to leave the door open to work with the county for the fire station.
Second. Mr. Brescusa moves approval of the staff recommendation, seconded by Mr. Deegan. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much. Item B, IT strategic business plan. Before we do that, let me get rid of the minutes. Anybody have any changes to the minutes of the June meeting?
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Deegan moves approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Hutchins. No comments. The motion is to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Minutes are accepted. That meeting, of course, and the minutes contain the previous discussion we had on the next topic when it was initially presented to us. Now it is before us as an action item. Mr. Dangolini.
Well, as we discussed the last time we were talking about our IT infrastructure, we brought in our regional panel who had reviewed our IT infrastructure, our IT program, Rod Burfield promised that in September he would come to you with a preliminary IT strategic plan, and that's what we're here to talk a little bit about, an IT strategic plan that allows us to address those issues, those areas of weakness that were identified by our regional panel. So I'll turn it over to Rod to describe the plan and answer any questions you have.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For you today is the IT strategic plan, and the material that was mailed out on Friday, we included a complete copy of the plan. There are a couple of typos in there. I know that we'll fix those. This is what happens when you're doing last-minute editing. It is based upon peer review that was presented to this committee in June, and I'll go through and describe exactly what we're doing and progress we're making. See the I have my little job aid and stuff the on the side there, but the plan is in front of you. Let's go to the next page. Strategic plan, that's what we're doing right now. It is before you. You'll notice along the bottom line of the peer review, management infrastructure, enterprise architecture, business process reengineering, and IT budget planning called out as critical areas that need to be addressed. A restructured Office of Information Technology has been put before Human Resources, and we are moving forward as rapidly as we can in setting up areas that were called out in the peer review. In particular, we have designated a chief enterprise architect. An enterprise architecture is essentially nothing more than a plan against which you build your system. To make sure that everything fits properly, we don't have to go back and redo things. We have our plan right now has some gaps in it, and much of it is outdated. It badly needs to be updated. This also includes the security area. The new systems that we have installed have much more complex security features to it, and it is being applied on an enterprise level rather than on an individual legacy system level as it was before. And we also, that will be included in the enterprise architecture plan as well. Business process reengineering. This is an ongoing process. I remember last year when I talked to you, this is an area that we're putting a lot of focus on. This is probably the area that I'm the most proud of in terms of our restructuring. Included in the restructuring is a proposal to create a customer liaison unit. And the idea is that through this process, we had at the height of the project, we probably had 300 subject matter experts from around the company that worked with us to design the system, help with the reports. They trained on the system, and they gained a great deal of very, very unique knowledge, not only about how the old legacy system works, but how the new systems work. And they really, really have a deep understanding. And we took a look at this and said, you know, when we post-go live, what we need to do is tag some of these people and bring them back into IT to serve as a liaison to the main business units. You can't pick up a technology magazine anywhere today without the dominant topic being how to properly align the technology and the business function in a company. And this is one of the key ways we're going to do this. I think this will work very, very well. IT budget planning, that's also included. The restructuring, we've set up a business unit, which IT has really never had before. And on the procurement policy side, working with procurement, procurement has a contract administrator who worked for 25 years in the technology arena. We've actually never had somebody in procurement who had that kind of technology background. So that person is going to be handle all of the IT procurement from this point forward. So that addresses those things. Next page. Goal two, the foundation for the information technology infrastructures. GIS, the funding proposal, which will come before to execute the strategic plan, will be before the budget committee on October the 12th. And the GIS will be included in the funding proposal. But I do want to point out that we have already been working at this, and we have an analysis that was done by one of our subcontractors on how to set up a GIS system, and in particular, how to work with our area, state, and local governments, many of whom have very, very robust GIS systems. And the idea is, rather than us going out and building our own system that mirrors theirs, can we join with them and essentially become a client of theirs and build the different layers that we need and gain the GIS capability a lot faster and much less expensively? The IT Network Operations Center is also included in the funding proposal that you'll see in October. Telecommunications, we have hired a telecommunications senior project manager, somebody who has great expertise in this area, so that we can get the benefit of their expertise. On the wireless communications, this is the P3 program. It's underway, and we have a whole series of proposals that are being analyzed and moving forward. Voice radio communications, I think the board is aware that we've had some problems with communications inside the tunnels. A series of tests of different methodologies to fix this problem will begin soon, working with various of the vendors, and they're going to demonstrate what they can do to fix this problem so we can solve that. The wide area network, seat management, email messaging, enterprise IT security, that's included in the security architecture, data center ops and consolidations are all included in the funding proposal. On the seat management, I want to make a particular point here. Seat management is a fairly simple process that many companies use where your PCs, your peripherals, all of those things are managed by them, centrally controlled. It allows them to push out new applications centrally rather than sending people out to every desktop, which in our company would be 4,000. That's a little bit not very efficient. But we're actually going a little bit beyond that. We're taking a look at managed services in a broader scale and determining exactly what portions of our IT functionality on a day-to-day basis, would it make sense for us to have a contractor do this? But in order to do this, we need a total cost of ownership analysis so that we know exactly how much it costs us right now. Part of the issue we have, I know how much it costs us from the IT area alone, but we have dispersed technology functions throughout the company. And so in order to really determine, I mean, these companies that do this have models that they use can determine this. And we will be coming back probably near the end of this fiscal year with a proposal on what we think we can do there. The prime reason companies do this is really three. One is that not only WMATA, we have a problem paying market-based rates for technology professionals, and private companies all over the country have the same problem. If you do a managed services deal, you can buy that talent, but you only pay for a small piece of it because they manage many, many clients at the same time out of their data centers. And that's one of the ways you can kind of get past that. Second reason you do it is that you also have highly qualified, cutting-edge people to take maximum advantage of new technological advances. And if you do the agreement correctly, can set it up so as they make proposals that will save the company money, and we gain those advantages, and they get a piece of it also, so you build an incentive for them to do that. And the third reason is what frequently happens if you do this correctly, is you end up with a much, much better operating system out of the deal. But it does require a substantial amount of work up front because you have to make sure that your goals are clearly laid out and the contract is written in such a way that it does, in fact, achieve your goal. It'll take us a little while to do that, but I think it holds great promise. At the bottom, data warehousing, network modernization, e-government infrastructure, these are areas that we continue to work on, and as part of the restructuring plan, we will continue to make improvements. Document management, our document management system is several years ago, we selected Documentum, and we have actually done a memorandum of understanding with Fairfax County, who is also installing Documentum, and they had an existing contract that is very much what we want to do, and we do this whenever this opportunity presents itself. So we just did a side deal with them, so we get their contractor that will help us put Documentum in, begin that process. Next page.
I trust you're not going to take as long on slides 30 and 31 as 29 took.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I'll dump the greens because that's the ITRP, and we did all sorts of good stuff there, and the peer review said that. The rest of these areas are either areas that we are going to propose additional funding to do some additional modules in some of the applications that we installed, and the rest of these are just continuation things. These are part of building the whole new governance model and the whole new infrastructure. Next page. This is the top line. The service-oriented architecture is not quite ready for prime time, but we will set up our architecture to allow us to do this. This essentially allows a company to change their business processes and have their users do it. It doesn't involve programming without changing applications. It holds great promise, but it's probably going to be about 2 or 3 or 4 years before this is really ready to go. I'm a little bit nervous about WMATA being in the R&D business. I want somebody else to develop this and show that it works, but we'll set it up in our architecture so we can install it and it's ready to go. Regional business interoperability, as I mentioned, we're working with Fairfax, we're working with the district, we're working with others to see where we can cooperate on a regional basis. And of course, our e-government enterprise applications, we already do that. We have automatic registration. You can bid on contracts and that kind of stuff, and we will continue that as well. Next page. That's the end.
I was surprised, too, so perhaps there was a slide that got lost.
The recommendation is that this committee endorse the strategic plan and recommend it to the board of directors for approval.
Very good. I was going to ask why there wasn't that nice, satisfying final slide that says staff recommendation.
I'm sorry, my copy has that in there.
Okay. But essentially, it is to adopt the plan that is attached. Actually, it's to adopt a resolution that endorses this plan.
Yes, sir.
So let me start with just a couple of housekeeping things. The resolution, I assume, is the thing that follows it that looks like a resolution that has no date on it, and that curiously at the top says presented and adopted. Now, maybe that is meant to be a blank in which the date will be filled in.
Yes.
But I have to tell you, when I first saw it, I thought, is this something we previously did that was there by reference?
I did believe that refers to the board adoption of it.
I wonder if we can't work on formatting there, too, to make clear. not yet adopted resolution should somehow indicate that it's a draft or something like that. I don't know what it is. And there should still be a date that I think somewhere on the document to indicate, because you get... Sorry?
It says proposed.
Yeah, I suppose you get in there somewhere and it does say proposed.
It says proposed resolution. Presented and adopted, there's a colon, and that would be filled in.
We also have a lot of things that are attached frequently that are for previous actions because they follow up. Anyway, I'm just asking you to look at the format in a way to make clear what it is that this relates to. One of the things that surprised me in the recommendation is that funding impact on the sheet that does have recommendation says none. And then when you look at the document, you go to page 11. It looks like it's, what did you read, Mr. Deegan, a $30 million expenditure? What do you got? Oh, there's another page with it, too. It was page 11 in the document as I had it, but I suppose what we got this morning is page paginated all the way through, so that'd be a different number. Is that 44? 44, okay. And at any rate, it sure does seem like it's a lot bigger than a none. In terms of fiscal impact,
Mr. Chairman, the point of this little chart was merely an illustration of the amount of money and the substantial efforts that this company and our partners have made for the last 5 or 6 years in technology investments. And what's happened, as you can see, you have well over $200 million worth of investments that have been made or are still underway. At the same time, the OI, the Office of Information Technology budget, has essentially remained flat, and the staffing has actually gone down a little bit. This is just merely an illustration of why we need to new governance.
Let me just read you a couple of things that caught my attention. Industry best practices for large organizations indicate that IT budget should be 2 to 4% of the overall operational budget. For WMATA, this translates to a range of $30 million to $60 million annually. This is compared to the actual 2006 budget of approximately $22 million split between basic IT operations and the IT enhancements. In other words, we've underfunded this area, according to the statement.
Correct.
And just at the bottom of the page, you see recommendation. The IT budget should immediately be increased to at least $30 million, and given the historic underinvestment in IT at WMATA, The amounts for a few, little problem with punctuation there. The amounts for future fiscal year should match the increased scope and complexity of the technology system. Now, I mean, it sounds like a case for increased funding there, which I'm not disputing. I'm simply saying this seems to be, if we're endorsing this document, that's our action, then it would appear that we're endorsing a significant budgetary change in this area, which might be the right thing to do, but it's not a none in fiscal impact. And I'm not sure you're the person to address that, but Mr. Tangalini,
yes, I'll address it. It's none in the terms of fiscal impact because this doesn't actually change the budget. All it does is provide guidance as we develop the FY08 budget. And then we would have to balance this. The recommendation of the IT strategic plan is that the budget should be X. We have to balance that against the other needs. We have to balance that against fares. We have to balance that against subsidy. So anything we would recommend to do in the IT side in terms of budgeting would actually come to the budget committee and would be evaluated against all those other alternatives.
Okay. And so in the very immediate fiscal sense, it has no impact because we're not spending any money today.
Exactly.
However, this very easily, and in fact, I think, reasonably can only be interpreted if we approve this as guidance to staff that would inform future budget development. And so it does have budgetary implications long term if we're going to take this step. Again, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing.
Right. You know. But it's in the same sense as such things as the app, the peer review on bus, which had recommendations to make certain investments. A number of those investments haven't been made because the resources aren't available. We keep bringing them back. We keep reminding folks about this interest, about these needs for these investments, and then we have to evaluate, balance, and weigh them. We only have as much money as we have.
Okay. The language of it seems very, you know, strongly worded. And again, right. I don't know that it's the wrong thing, but I think staff would reasonably look at this as this is a strong message for how you should develop future budgets in this area, and I think people need to make sure they understand that's what we're doing. Mr. Deegan.
Yeah. To follow up on that, Mr. Chairman, we're endorsing the plan, but we're not funding it. Is that correct?
Well, again, the plan makes recommendations, as Mr. Tangalini said, and there will be a budget committee will meet to consider these things.
But for passing this today, we're just endorsing the plan.
Right. Okay. Not endorsing increasing funding at this point. The budget committee can do that.
We're endorsing the plan, but not approving the fund.
Correct.
Yeah, but the board is going to approve this, presumably, in a couple of hours, right?
Correct.
So it will be an action by the board,
right? Correct.
Which supersedes any committee anyway. So, I mean, it really is an action of the board to endorse this. The resolution does say, directs the general manager to use this plan to align the business and technology functions and to optimize the use of modern technology investments. So.
Yeah, but any change to the budget would then have to come back to the budget committee.
And to the board.
And to the board.
That's
exactly right.
My point was simply that we are likely to see such a change, having given direction to the general manager that this is what we think you ought to be doing. Sorry, Mr. Dean.
Okay. One quick question. What's GOTRS?
I'm sorry. GOTRS is General Order Track Rights.
Oh, I should know that.
Didn't you know that, Charlie? Gosh, how long have you been here?
This is the current methodology we use to assign work crews space on the railroad during our off hours to maintain the railroad, install different things, improvements, et cetera, et cetera. We have an increasing need to do this. We have restricted hours, one of the things that we feel is very, very critically needed is an automated system to be able to manage this in a much more efficient way and gain greater use of the hours that we spend on the railroad at night.
We also think we could realize substantial savings in our projects because every time a project assumes track rights and then doesn't get it, we get charged for some of the time that it took to mobilize and demobilize that crew. So we think actually from a technology standpoint and from a safety standpoint and from a project delivery standpoint, that's one of our highest priorities.
It needs work, but it's not critical.
I'm sorry?
It's not, the way you have it listed is needs work, but it's not critical.
Well, it's not critical in the sense that we actually have a strategy, we have a plan for delivering it. It needs work means we just have to do it. Green means it's essentially been done or is happening. Yellow means we have a strategy for getting it done. Red, in some cases, means we don't even have a strategy for getting it done, and that's what the IT strategy helps us accomplish.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my next question, because I see in that red where we don't even have a strategy is telecommunications. Where are we standing with our ability, you know, and then what has me a little confused, you talk about wireless communications, voice radio communications. Obviously, I kind of group all of those together as being something critical to this authority.
I think they are incredibly critical, and I'd like to come back to the telecommunications comment. Right now, our telecommunications system, its architecture, the actual physical infrastructure is in a critical state, and that's why we have the phone switch replacement. We have actually a bid. There's something happening even in this building right now on bids related to that. So. In that sense, maybe it should go from red to yellow, because we do actually have a program to fix it, but that program isn't underway. Wireless and radio communications, we just split them just to recognize that there is a difference between our radio communications, our police communications, our operations communications, and wireless and cellular type communication.
And Mr. Deegan, the point of the three CIOs who did the peer review, they were surprised that our telecommunications function in its broadest sense, as you referred to, is the authority for this is scattered throughout the company. They feel that this badly needs to be centralized to make this work better. That's the reason they called it red.
Well, it's obviously something we have to work on, and that disaster drill we had Sunday points it out in almost all these areas.
Right. And that, in part, was the point of the drill. We brought down the communications network within the system so that we could work with the regional first responders to get access to the National Capital Regional Radio Cache, see how that actually works. In that sense, that worked. In other senses, communications with customers' communications outside the tunnel, that showed continued areas of need to work.
Now, I guess the next follow-up question is, when will we see the improvement in these areas?
Well, actually, as I mentioned before, you know, we have some kind of contract-related, I want to say bid opening today on the switch. That kind of thing is already happening. We're having ongoing conversations with cellular providers and the other providers of wireless to test technologies. Much of this is already happening. What we'd like to do, though, is get the endorsement of the board to continue down this line, to continue focusing on creating a central IT function, pulling together the various disparate parts, say, of telecommunications.
I guess you have no problem with my endorsement of it. My problem is when.
And I'm saying...
Can it be done yesterday?
No, it's happening now. I mean, it's happening now to some extent. We also, though, want to have a roadmap so we can come back to the board and say, consistent with the plan that we showed you and that you adopted, this is what we're doing. So you have some sense of the when and the how.
Thank you.
You were, just to follow up on that, you mentioned wireless providers and talks, and it's sort of dangling in front of me there, and I'm surprised that Charlie didn't grab that one this time. But
he left it for you.
When do we get to use other cell phones?
That's one of the things we're very... You know, we're very interested in pursuing, in part because my wife has a Nextel and she can't call me when I'm on the subway.
Yeah.
What we want to do is make sure, though, we don't get into an arrangement that only constrains us to the four current cellular providers.
Right.
We want to make sure that whatever the proposal is, whatever the technology they install, actually works. Because if you look at the history of this program, earlier in 92 when we first started, promises were made about cellular and emergency services communications on the same antenna, and it learned halfway through that you couldn't do that. So we actually are working with the various different proposers for our broader customer information communications system to try out some different technologies, distributed antennas, a 1 5/8 inch leaky coaxial cable antenna, which is what the cellular...
Leaky coaxial.
Leaky coaxial, yes. It's like a garden... Well, never mind. And I'd be happy to take you down into the tunnel to see what they look like. I owe Dave Couch a shirt because of a tour we took. But Anyway, so we're going to test these various different technologies to see which ones work, because the last thing we want to do is sign on the bottom line, begin the investment, and find out that it doesn't work. What we do want, though, is something that is flexible, something that is expandable, something that provides good service today, but we don't feel 5 years from now miss the opportunity for things like Wi-Fi or WiMAX. There may be entirely other different forms of communication that if we can make sure that the system is flexible enough, we don't have to spend another 5 years rewiring the tunnel again.
Yeah, that's always the difficult thing with this kind of technology, which moves so rapidly, picking the moment when it's the right time to buy. You know, how long do I wait for the prices of plasma screen TVs to come down?
Right.
Until the point where I buy them and now they've got something else and it's obsolete.
Exactly right. The LCD.
That's true in every way.
Yeah.
What's that?
The LCD screen. So you're waiting for the plasma. And now,
you know, and that knowing what that moment is and what's optimal is really difficult inherently. But, you know, we are going years and years and years with people not being able to use cell phones in the system, where we've gone from a time which cell phone was something which a few people were lucky enough to have one of, to where every kid has one.
Yes.
And we all expect to be able to find our kids at any moment and talk to them. If they don't answer the phone, we panic.
I agree.
So, you know, it's definitely a different culture now. And apart from just, you know, you and I wanting to be able to communicate with our spouses when we're in the system, there is actually the emergency side of this as well. And in
right.
that emergency, I don't think we want to be dependent on entirely one provider. To wit, since we're on the subject, I would really like it if someone could tell me a question I asked a week or two ago, which is why the one provider we have doesn't seem to work at the Pentagon City Station. If this were the Operations Committee, I'd be asking why we had double-digit headways on the yellow line this morning, but that's a different question. But I would like to know why it was I couldn't call Deborah Johnson to tell her that I was waiting for a yellow line train at the Pentagon City Station. And as far as I can tell, it's been throughout the station. It's been that way for some time, at least. And again, well, since when you're dependent on one provider, it means then nobody can communicate with the outside world.
Well, as a daily rider and as someone who uses my cell phone on the system every day, and I apologize if I have disturbed any customers while I do that, I understand the frustration that it doesn't always work. And it frequently doesn't work at all in certain parts of the system, and that was part of our communication, our discussion with the cellular providers and the offerer, the current offerer, who has a proposal with a consortium of others. The idea being, if their consortium is to make the same quality of service available for all the providers, that we may need to rethink it because we need a higher quality of service, more consistent quality of service. They believe that they have a technology in this 1 5/8 cable that actually provides much more consistent service, higher quality service, as well as access to all the other providers. My answer to them was simply prove it. And I would like them to show us how it works, show us that it works, make sure that it's a test that our engineers feel really, you know, stresses the application. And then we'd like to compare that to other technologies, such as distributed antennas and other ideas that are out there, as well as then explore the financials of whether we get into an arrangement that's led by one lead cellular provider who then through some agreements allow other people to have access, or we use something called a neutral host. So we're not, you know, we're not spending a lot of time trying to get into airy-fairy discussions about where we think the technology is going so much as, okay, what works, what doesn't work, let's make a decision and let's move on.
Very good. Mrs. Hutchins?
Thank you. Mr. Deegan started in the direction that I asked, wanted to ask. We received the peer review, and this is subsequent to the peer review to start marching through what this plan is for us. And we're increasing the budget, which I think we feel is important. And I think what I would like to make sure that we can see is that as we move forward, we see exactly where we move on this plan relative to the efficiencies that come to the agency. That it's an investment, and it's an investment that's measurable, I think, that the board can be accountable for, but equally that we see that operation more efficiently. We can talk about the very glaring ones, for example, the wireless piece.
Right.
But I think when we heard this presentation, we heard about those old systems that make the work environment very difficult and subsequently makes serving the customer very difficult,
right.
And that we can see those improvements. And in some way to note them to us as we're going through approving items. Because, yes, I think from an intuitive and what we've heard in our presentation, there definitely needs to be an increase in order to address some of the plan objectives. Actually, when will we see them and what will they be?
Right. And I guess in some areas we don't necessarily believe you necessarily need an increase as much as a realignment of the existing resources, and that's something we come back and talk to the budget committee about, because there is the Metro Matters funding, and we just would like to align those resources against goals that we've collectively set. I think your point is a good one. These investments need to have defined benefits, and we need to then be able to report back to the board on what benefits are in fact realized. And for the most part, I think a lot of our investments are taken as good investments on their face. We make them, we install them, and what we need to do is explain how we're performing against them. And I think that's part of our broader effort here, is to have a roadmap where we're going, and then mileposts along the way saying whether we've actually gotten there or not.
Isn't it?
I will move approval of the resolution.
Ms. Mack moves the committee recommend approval of the resolution to the board. Is there a second?
Well, I want to just say that.
Is that a second, Mr. Grant? Okay. Ms. Mack.
Okay. And just to say that, yes, we are sort of committing ourselves to funding it, although we know we don't have the money. But it is something that we need to do. We know how perilous it is not to keep our IT systems up to date and try to update them as the need requires. So it is a commitment we need to make and to fund as we can find the necessary resources. I also am just very pleased with the clarity with which this is presented. I was pleased when the volunteer committee brought it back to us, and it's easy for us to see what is funded, what we need to fund, and we can talk about it in, you know, logical thoughts and pieces of this system, of the pyramid here. So I think this is a move in the right direction, and it does present challenges for us in the future, but that's just part of moving ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Mack. Question is on the motion to approve the recommend approval of the resolution of the board. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much. The next item is the regional bus conference.
Regional bus conference will be presented by Zach Altenheimer and Jim Hamry, and they'll quickly walk you through the planning and preparation for this fall's regional bus conference.
Rock and roll. Very handsome-looking bus there in the upper left-hand corner, if I may say so, Mr. Tangerlini.
That's very kind of you, Mr. Zimmerman. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So we want to talk to you today about the progress that's being made on this conference and to have a discussion about our recommended approach for including board participation in the conference. And we also just want to point out a new achievement for planning office in this. It's a ratio of 4 words per image. I don't think you'll ever see that again from us, so pointed out now. In fact, on the next slide, you'll see that we were so exhausted that we backslid to 58 words per image. So just, we're mindful of standard here. Anyway, what we wanted to do is at the conference is to review and discuss best practices around the country and in the region. Review and discuss, this is, I think, a key point, many agreements, plans, and information that have already been developed that are already in place around the region, and that, you know, from time to time we forget that is those accomplishments already have been in place. We want to refine the understanding of these plans and agreements, and we want to strategize on how to move towards implementation. I think that's the key outcome that we're looking for, and what would be the organizing framework for board members' participation. The 4 areas that we're looking at, you can see traffic management, which includes anything related to how to improve bus running times, transit signal prioritization, enforcement of parking, intersection configurations, bus stop accessibility and quality, the information that's provided to riders at the bus stops, fare policy, which is a little bit of a misnomer in that what we're looking at here is targeting of new markets with fair products and services, special fair programs for college students, for example, or the elderly, and the development of fair products that will encourage people to use bus services. And then finally, looking at service integration and corridor planning.
Before you go,
yes.
When you mention a whole list of things under traffic management,
yes.
And I might have missed it in the list, but I didn't hear anything about the real right-of-way question, bus lanes and that sort of thing.
That would be part of that. Would certainly be part of that discussion.
Under that one.
That's correct.
Okay, because I'm looking forward to discussion of such things.
Okay.
The integration and corridor planning, though, then is different.
That's correct.
Yeah, the latter would be dealing with service. And the recommendations out of the regional bus study and the network evaluation we're doing now, looking at how we identify what projects get implemented, when they get done, who does them, by which operator, and then identifying the responsibility and eventually figuring out how you pay for it and you move it forward to implementation.
So this is relating to the fact of different providers.
Well,
public service and having to create an integrated.
Exactly, because the whole outcome of the regional bus study was intended to create a seamless network where customers could move through the network from system to system without barriers, without trouble having the information they need at the time they need it in order to utilize what is really a very comprehensive network of services chopped up into, last count, 16 different operators.
Okay, thank you.
We have a venue and date. It's November 30th, 9 a.m., 4 p.m. at the Marriott Bethesda North Hotel, Bethesda, Maryland. Next slide. To update you on what has been going on, there are working teams working on each one of the routes, each one of the areas that we're focusing on. Those teams are having regular meetings. We have a standing item on the JCC meetings every month. Where we update them and get feedback. We are working on developing a metro and local bus showcase, which is going to be a presentation of buses, bus equipment, bus information, shelters, a whole range of facilities that are part of providing excellent bus service, and then providing reaching out to other organizations, which we detail on the next page.
And if I could just emphasize, all the jurisdictions, all of the local bus operators have been invited to participate in that. There are a lot of really great stories, successful bus operations throughout the region, from the Germantown I-270 Express down to Richmond Highway in Fairfax, from activities planning going on in Prince George's to just solid operations in Fairfax City. It's a good story throughout the region.
Thank you. Does that conclude?
We could talk more about it, but if you know, I know you've had agenda, so if you want
to. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had anything further.
No, that's it.
Well, we have to, this is the next step. So I guess the last element I guess we want to focus on really would be the participation of board members in the actual event. Right now we have a couple of specific roles that I think we've discussed with individual board members. Chairwoman Matt would be giving a keynote presentation.
Okay, I don't think we need to take up the
okay,
time here.
Fine.
We'll work that out,
fine.
I'm sure. I did have a couple of questions about it. The venue I've not been to. How far is it from the metro station in Bethesda?
Right across the street from the White House.
Mr. Rescues, I can probably tell
It's a fabulous facility. It's directly across the street. You don't even cross. It's White Flint's on the opposite side of the road. Conference Center, you come out of the metro, you're right there at the Conference Center. A lot of parking, very accessible. I want to commend Metro for not doing it here, because it does show it's a regional meeting. We're going out to make it easy for everyone to get to, whether you're coming from Fairfax, whether you're coming from any parts of the region to participate. It's a beautiful building.
Also, I really commend Metro anytime they choose to do an event in my jurisdiction, too. That's a good choice. I'm quite happy to go to Montgomery County. All I wanted to know was, can I take Metro Rail
yes,
to get there?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, and that
Metro
was the right
Rail,
answer.
Metro Bus, and Ride-On, actually. But
I want to comment that, remember, this idea had the genesis with a comment raised by Mr. Linton. Mr. Linton's been working very closely with Montgomery County to help us gain access to this facility. It is brand new. It was built to be accessible to Metro, and it's part of a broader set of venues and opportunities that exist throughout the entire Metro system, not just in the core of the system.
That's good. This is a very interesting time for us in bus service, and Ms. Mack has certainly made improving bus service a major theme of her chairmanship, for which I commend her. In my own view, bus service in this region has gotten a lot better in recent years. The nadir for bus service, I think, was about a decade ago, something like that, and Metrobus nearly collapsed. And in that time, there have been a lot of improvements that have not only made the system survive, but actually made some real difference. And I was kidding Mr. Tangalini about the bus pictured in there in the first page, with which he had something to do, which is one example of the kind of things that have been going on, some new creativity and trying to make bus service something that many people, you know, people would choose to do and not simply be something that is only there for people who have no choice, which is the way bus service in this country degraded for so long. So we have made a lot of progress in many different areas, in the equipment, in information, in fares, a lot of improvements. At the same time, we got a long way to go, and that's why we're doing this. There's so much we need to do. And there was a very interesting illustration of this for me this week, because there are a number of changes coming out. I think there's a release detailing various bus route changes going on throughout the system. And we had a public meeting on Monday night in Arlington as part of some of these that Metro conducted to take input on a few of those changes that affected Northern Virginia. And it was a very interesting meeting, because the changes that are being proposed in this case almost entirely will improve service. They're basically things that will make it work better for most of the people. And I think from listening to people, they can see that. And a lot of people, when I explained to them, understood that, you know, this is something that's going to make it better. This isn't just we're eliminating routes or something. This is actually we're trying to make it work better for you. And they addressed some of the specific complaints they had about the operation of those routes. At the same time, give them the opportunity to talk, and there's a flood of things that aren't really on the immediate agenda for the meeting, but are immediately relevant to the experience of these bus riders. And they are the things we need to really work on. And that was partly the reaction of the staff was, gee, they came to talk about this, and this isn't really a big issue, but they had all these other things. And I don't think it was the people didn't care about what was being proposed. It was, yeah, that's okay, but now let me talk to you about the fact that my bus leaves early, and I get there, and I miss it because it's leaving a few minutes early. And I don't like late, but early is not acceptable at all. And a whole lot of heads nod up and down. And, you know, just this morning I was talking to somebody who was giving a similar experience with confusion about when certain buses leave in another location. And you get the same themes when you talk to people. There's a lot that we're doing that's right, and you'll hear that when you listen to the customers. But there are also a lot of things that we haven't figured out yet, and we need to find a way to do that if we're going to accomplish our goals in transit to the region. And I hope that this conference is going to be an opportunity to deal with those things and get us approaching this in a comprehensive way, so that on a regional basis, we're looking at making this system really work as an integrated system, as Mr. Hamry was describing. I know that you got in there some things about lunch and speaker and all that. As I said, I don't want to take a lot of time on that there. Well, I would say I hope we can get some folks who will come from places where they've done some innovative things that we haven't done. We've done things there's not too many places where you can use a smart trip card on a bus. But on the other hand, in Minneapolis, they've got, I forget how many miles of dedicated bus lane where they've used shoulders and things at low cost to get buses moving throughout the city in rush hour. You know, there are people who know how to do that sort of thing, and I'm sure there are other examples as well. And I would hope we could hear from some people who actually have experience doing the kinds of innovative things that, you know, we've kind of kicked around, but everybody's nervous about doing. That's my last comment. Ms. Legend.
Well, I just want to echo the thought that this should be comprehensive, and I think the word integration is the key thing, because too frequently we forget that the customer's experience crosses many, many boundaries. And unless we can think about making that a satisfying experience for them, with all of these pieces that we've called upon, that we can't be successful, and it doesn't matter whether it's Fairfax and the Connector or Metro, it does become an integrated piece that we have to work toward. It serves as making it great for the customer. It also serves in terms of us having an opportunity to examine efficiencies and costs of how do we deliver service to our customers such that it is a integrated system and works well for everybody. I think we've all been a little bit treacherous about wanting to step there, but in the long term, I think it's going to be important that we think about it. As I had a difficult time trying to explain to the Washington Post that I don't ride Metro bus where I live, but I do ride a bus.
Right, right.
And my constituents and I look to see that whether I get off that bus and go onto the Metro line or go to another area and get to a Q bus or someplace else in the system, it's important that if I'm going to use public transportation, it can be a good experience without me having to figure out what jurisdiction I live in or where the system is provided. So I think it's an opportunity to learn an awful lot and also be willing to think about some things that we might want to do differently.
If I can just respond to that very quickly, I think you're right. Customers don't care whose name is on the side of the bus. They care where it goes, and they want to make sure that it's easy to move from one to the other. Having these kinds of conversations, putting aside our institutional pride and start focusing on the outcome, I think is very important. I think this is a good step in that direction.
Very good. Further comments, Mr. Deegan?
I'll be short because I agree with you, Mr. Zimmerman, and Mrs. Hudgens as well. I notice the theme is charting a common route, and I just want to make it, but in your objectives, you don't really make it clear that we might actually be talking about changing bus routes. For the regional good, and I think we would have put a better emphasis on that, because I think that could be an answer to a lot of the problems throughout the whole region if we had better bus routes. I sat just this week in Prince George's County, and they're talking about changing their routes. I often joke about, I think they designed them by cooking a pot of spaghetti and dropping them on the table, and then figuring out where Council X, Y, or Z live, but. We have to look at the bus routes in today's world because they were done 30 some years ago, and
in many cases farther back than that.
Yeah, and I just think we've got to put a higher emphasis on that.
And
I
guess
think we're heading in the right way. I'm certainly for this regional approach, and it looks like we're doing just nothing ever seems to happen fast enough.
Well, if I could just direct to that, we did do the regional bus study, which was a very comprehensive, in-depth look at the entire network. We're doing an update of that study called the Bus Network Evaluation, literally meeting this afternoon, and we hope to have some reports coming to you later this fall and winter to make recommendations specifically on the subject that you're addressing. And then this conference becomes an opportunity to identify how we integrate our service plans, Prince George's service plans, throughout the region.
Integrated from Virginia to Maryland and through the city.
Right. Absolutely. So we'll be giving you the opportunity to follow up on that very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to it.
Thank you.
We have one more item. It's an update on the station signage program. I know of particular interest to Chairman Mack.
Mr. Couch and Mr. Triola of our Infrastructure Renewal Program Office will walk you through our phasing and projected costs for signage upgrades.
Instead of a walk, why don't we make it a trot?
Trot. Okay. Trot.
Moving to the last page.
I didn't say sprint. Yeah.
Morning, Mr. Couch.
Good morning, Mr. Zimmerman. What we wanted to do is to give you an update on what we've done. We've done parts and pieces in different stations. Again, this is kind of in the same situation as the IT presentation you got earlier. We want to show you where things are. It is not currently budgeted, but we wanted to give you a picture of what can be done and how it can be phased. With that, Mr. Trill.
Okay. Good morning. A signage pilot project for Gallery Place Chinatown was approved by the board in 2001, and that was completed in 2004. And if you, new wayfinding signs, station ahead list, and illuminated signs were added. It's a slideshow. Subsequently, the upgraded signage principles were implemented at four other stations: Morgan Boulevard, Largo Town Center, New York Avenue, and National Airport. And that's on the following slides. There's some from Morgan Boulevard and New York Avenue. Okay. Now, with the Navy Yard station signage is going to be updated in the modifications for the new ballpark. So that leaves 80 Metro Rail stations still to have the upgrade to the station signage. And what we're proposing to do it in a phased approach. It'd be over a several-year period. And the initial phase one would be used to further develop signage principles from the pilot program to address various station types, like the typical underground center and side platform stations and existing at-grade stations. And priority will be given to the those stations affected by the blue line rerouting to accommodate 8-car trains. That would be in phase two. Overall, there'd be 5 phases, and the estimated cost of this is $25 million.
You said the blue line rerouting, which as far as I know is something we're still waiting for a recommendation on. So that's not actually something we decided about.
One of the concepts, Mr. Zimmerman, was when we did go to the 50% 8-car train operation, one possibility was to split the blue line.
I'm very interested in it. I'm just pointing out that it's not something we've taken action on, but this anticipates such an action.
Yes,
in establishing
exactly
the priority. But what I don't fully understand, I mean, I understand you've developed a phasing how we might do this and implement it throughout the system, which I'm very glad to see. I'm sure Mrs. Mack is, considering it was 5 years ago that we were first talking about how we can make this information better. We got something pretty good.
Right.
It took us 3 years to get the thing tried at a station, and 2 years later now we're looking at a plan for getting it throughout the rest of the system. But with all of this, is there no funding to do any of this in what we budgeted already?
The only parts that are in here, Mr. Zimmerman, one, there is a possibility to do some work at Metro Center out of some advertising revenue that has a potential. The other is, as listed here, is that the changes at the Navy Yard station would be done as part of the stadium project. There isn't anything in the base infrastructure renewal program with any money to fund anything of this nature.
Okay, and you know, when we did the increased advertising, and I moved to have the action amended to specifically direct that funds from that were to go to these kind of improvements, so that whatever we did in increased advertising would be directly beneficial to customers in ways like information, other amenities. Amenity doesn't seem like the right word, but this sort of thing. And I would hope that this kind of a program of this magnitude would be within what you could accomplish from those kind of revenues. And I kind of thought we'd find that some aspect of this was already budgeted. Mr. Tangerlini.
Yeah, I actually wanted to comment on that. There is one additional investment that is in the 07 money generated by the additional advertising revenues. There are a number of things we're proposing to do: upgrade the customer service centers, do the signage upgrade, one more station, I think it's Lanfon, additional bomb-proof trash cans. So that we are going to chip away at it. I know there was just interest in this program, what it would take to fully implement this program, what our proposed timeline is. You see, it's a long-term program, one that could be implemented quickly if the resources are available, but we have been targeting additional advertising revenue, the tunnel ads. That was one of the sources of revenue for this.
But this is a, I'm trying to add this up here. What is this, about a 5 or 6 year program or something?
Just over six years.
And I guess I don't really understand why we have the thing down to the month if in fact we're not in a position to do any of it. I mean, if you're not saying in the next 16 months we're going to do phase one, then I'm not sure I understand exactly what the timeline means.
I think the point is to just show you how long it could take. We are going to come back to the board next month with some capital prioritization, you know, how we would prioritize capital, what we would do with capital.
And you're going to have this in there?
This would be the kind of, I don't know if this will necessarily be in there.
Okay, let me try it differently, Mr. Angelini. If I had $25 million right now and I handed it to you,
yeah,
You can tell me it would take you 6 years to put up signs?
The way that it's phased right now, Mr. Zimmerman, it gets us into four stations at a time. We can accelerate that.
I understand that's the way you did it. I guess I don't understand what the meaning of this is. In other words, if I had a whole program and we had the money, I would assume you could do it, you know, within the fiscal year, because it just can't be that hard to do that. You guys do incredible things in, you know, in less time than 6 years. Mm-hmm. So the phasing presumably means because we can't afford to do it all at once, which I understand. But then it's such a specific program of how you would lay it out, it seems to suggest that there was some budgetary notion that was driving the phasing.
It wasn't done by budgetary phasing. This was done by access to the system, the time that it's required to do the work, and also the production of the number of signs that it takes in order to make these kinds of changes. We could go ahead and do this so that we had several contractors doing it instead of one. That has the potential to accelerate the program. But directly, yes, we could find a way to cut this to much less than 6 years. It would just have to be going in different directions and doing things concurrently on different lines. And all that goes into the precious track time that we've got available. Because every time we go in to put signs or anything else up in a station where it requires access to cross a track, it's during the non-revenue hours, which are more and more in demand for all the work that we have going on the system.
Yeah, but that's true for the signs that get placed on the other side of the track, which obviously is part of this. But the majority of the signs are, you know, are accessible without track time. And I'd almost wonder why you wouldn't, you know, phase it in a way that said, we're going to first do the stuff we can get to easily that's accessible, that doesn't, you know, get that complication, and the others will take more time because of that issue.
I think that's absolutely worth exploring, an alternative that maybe is faster and more cost-effective that could be built into an existing program. I think given the level of resources and the amount of work, that it's not a matter of 6 years. It's more a matter of 10 or 15 because of the priority. The priority is going to be on things like the fire life safety system. It's going to be on things like the track, on cabling, on improved communications. And so while this is, you know, this is an important customer-focused program, and we will continue to chip away at it using revenues that are generated by alternative advertising, other means of developing the revenues, I think we can go back and look at making incremental improvements according to, you know, the overall program that eventually get us where we want to go.
Okay, but you brought me exactly to my point, which is that the problem with something like this is it will always be a lower order priority than safety and the operation and all that, which means you could never get to it. And that is part of the reason why I was interested in having dedicated funding from something, you know, like advertising that would help us to improve information in the system, which is even more important now when we're running at higher levels of passengers, because otherwise we'll never give you the money to do it,
right?
Because there's always going to be that thing that's of higher priority. But I'd hope that what we would get is some kind of actual plan. I don't know if you call it a budget or almost, it's almost like a limited capital plan for, you know, we have a number of things we're going to do that are going to generate this pool of funds, and here's how we envision rolling it out, and something like this is part of that, and that's what your phasing would relate to, because we're going to say we have this amount of that, we're going to be dedicating to this each year, and so on. And I guess this isn't quite where I thought it was, and I think that's what I would like to see. You know, what's a plan that actually, and maybe you do want to relook at what's the least expensive way to get some of that information out there, because it continues to be frustrating for a lot of people, you know, especially with the number of people you have, you know, new to the area and visitors and all that. And I personally felt that the gallery place was a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
It winds up being easier to get in. I can't wait till I can see it in L'Enfant Station, which is, you know, one of the most confusing in the system. And if we just wait for when the money shows up, then this phasing plan doesn't mean anything either. And as you say, it'll take 10, 15 years.
Right. And I think you're right. I think we do owe you a financing plan. If we want to go forward with this, there are ways we could do this if we, in fact, dedicate revenues out of the proceeds of specific sources, we could work to actually borrow sufficient resources to do this more quickly. So that's something we could explore as well if that's an interest. So
I'd like you to look also at the possibility where if we're looking at implementing certain advertising ideas, let's say.
Right.
that we immediately, that we directly tie them to that. That if
exactly.
we get a contract for this, we'll do this. I, you know, another example I've given is I'd like to see some of the stations brighter. I'd like to see some of the stations whitewashed the way they've been done. That really brings up the level of light in them. But that can be done on a station-by-station basis. Can I get certain advertising things that there's a known dollar value for? How much would I have to make that to pay the cost of that? And, you know, I still haven't seen, you know, kind of numbers on that, but there might be something that would work that way. There are specific kinds of improvements like that that you could make that you know what it would cost, so you could figure out what you need to do, and then you can say, am I willing to do this, you know, this particular? And then when customers ask why, you know, why are we, well, you're getting this for this. I mean, it's understandable then. And I think that's a strategy that might help us do some things that otherwise would always be lower order magnitude. Ms. Mack.
Well, I just want to echo what you're saying, because my concern is that if we have a plan that takes 6 years, that's how we'll program it. And so it's sure to take that long or longer. And I'm curious that it is really specific in terms of the number of stations and the amount of time it takes. I guess this is based on your analysis of access to the stations and the number of exits and all that within the stations. I would really like to see a more aggressive plan. I think that we should not allow ourselves 6 years to get this done. I mean, it's just much, much too long.
I agree. And I'm surprised a little bit, too, because I mean, this is an information item. But it was compared in some ways to the IT thing, and that there's a bunch of goals, but you know the funding isn't determined yet. But on that one, we took an action to direct, you know, that we were endorsing this approach.
Yes.
And we're not being asked to do that here. And I guess I had read this coming into the meeting as if this were, you know, essentially something you were doing based on previous authorization or something like that. Again, I don't know what can be done or what's appropriate, but I'd be interested in seeing something that is, here's an actual plan that we think we could go forward on. Know, and ask us to endorse that based on something. Or you say we can't do it, you know, because we have other things. But, you know, I'd rather we didn't say we've got a plan that would do it in 6 years, but we're not.
Right.
Don't know when we're going to be able to
do it. And I think it is useful to compare it to the IT strategic plan. What we did initially in the IT strategic plan is we had the peer review, and they mentioned some of the issues, some of the exposures, some of the problems we have. And then we came back to the board with a specific plan, and we're going to come back to the board with a financing strategy. So I think that this, like the IT strategic plan, but this is kind of like phase one. I know the board has had views on the signage before. The board has been interested in this. You've taken specific actions. You dedicated revenue. We wanted to come back and tell you what we think it would take to do the entire thing. We wanted to hear whether it was remains a board priority. I think we've heard that. And now it's really incumbent on us to come up with a strategy to push it forward in light of all the other competing priorities, and we can do that next.
Thank you. Mr. Deegan?
Got one question. Are the fare card machines included in the signage request? Or do I? I was under the impression that we were going to put the fares on the fare card machines in all our stations. Has that changed? Everybody's looking at me like I don't know what they're talking
about. There's nothing in
this
program for anything to do with fare information on fare machines. This is purely the directional signs and wayfinder signs in the stations.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Not in this program. It's a different program. Murray Bond, do you want to come on up here?
Well, I just noticed that I was at College Park the other day, and I just happened to notice it wasn't there. They weren't there. I know they're Greenbelt, they're Union Station. They're,
right.
You know.
And so we're rolling them out, yeah. Fare card machine.
And that's still happening.
That's still happening.
And we're that's not part of this program.
That is not part of this program.
So the other thing that strikes me is we're spending $300,000 a station, roughly, if my math is right, to change signs, and it doesn't even include the fare card. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but the one you got is already in there.
It's already in there.
It's being done.
And if you see the signage in Gallery Place, you can see, you know, with the lighted signage, the lighted directional signage, it's very comprehensive, and it is expensive to make, you know, fundamental changes to signage like that.
Thank you.
Mr. Deegan, I just wanted to let you know the new signs are in production as we speak, and they'll be installed by Columbus Day, which is the first holiday where we're going to have regular service and fairs and parking.
That's why the signs.
Yes, sir. That's why the signs had to be redone. They will be temporary and will be replaced again at the end of the year because of the yellow line extension.
That's a good point. We stopped the rollout because we changed our fare policy, and so now we're coming back, and we have to re-roll it out. We have to change all the ones we already installed. And I think to some extent that's one of the reasons why we didn't have our fares displayed in many, many places, because of the extra effort it takes to change them when fares change.
Okay, but we're still doing that.
Yeah, yep. The original 24 stations were geared to high tourist locations. And I, you worked very closely with us.
Yeah,
I remember you toured.
I just wanted to make sure it was still happening.
No, it's
the
still
answer is
there.
It's happening. It'll be there in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
The best news anybody's gotten this morning. Ms. Hutchinson.
Just a question regarding the criteria of the stations that were chosen in this phasing of it. Does that include anything to do with the crowding or access use of the stations, and which are probably more problematic in terms of crowds and directions, or just what was your...
The basis of it was looking at it in a continuity of installation going from one end of a line to another, and trying to take into account things that we were anticipating to change, such as the blue line split. As Mr. Zimmerman said, that's not approved yet, but we were trying to do things that would give more information out there sooner to the customers.
Mr. Scusa.
From an informational question, will all of these stations, when this done, on one of the two tracks, would they have either via Metro Center or via La Font Plaza? So I'm assuming a lot of this is not for the commuters who ride every day. The signage is for the people that are less frequent, and a lot of them are going to want to know which train is going downtown. So I see the example here, the gallery, you have via Union Station. Is the other side of the track, would that have said via Metro Center, and are we using it so that people know which train is going downtown, which one's coming out from town? How is the mechanism being implemented?
For the most part, what we've done is show the terminal stations. We'll look at that concept and consider it as we finalize the designs of putting exactly that in a lot of locations.
Okay. I would encourage you to do that, because I think a lot of people don't know that they want to go to Shady Grove or Glenmont. They know if they want to go downtown. And I think putting that on, and this would be a way to generate more revenue. We're trying to get people that don't frequently use the system, and if it's made easier for them, I think.
Well, Mr. Scuso, I would say even people who frequently use the system find themselves going somewhere. Well, you know your route every day, but all of a sudden now I have to go somewhere else that I haven't gone. I got to go a different way, and it can be just as confusing because you're in a different station that you've never visited before. The 86 stations or whatever up there now. So I agree, and then, of course, the red line is particularly confusing because it's so nonlinear. Ms. Mack is
I have been asking for this for 20 years. I kid you not. If you will go and consult the record, you will find that I have been asking for this every time this subject comes up. In fact, I guess I got discouraged and let Ray ask for this. So I'm fascinated by the answer.
The answer is, look at page 61 of 67. The answer is yes.
Okay, 61 and 67.
Because you see that the signage does reflect that, and that's certainly, we've heard the interest of the board. It only took 20 years.
And as we go on by Union Station, and right. One example we have, you can see that, right?
Exactly right. And we only have one example, right. So that's the kind of thing.
But
that
you
we
anticipate
do.
That this is the way we would do it if
absolutely.
We find the $25 million to do the rest of this program.
Well, but that little change wouldn't even require $1 million, probably.
This gets back to our thing about, is there a way to do
exactly.
some intermediate steps?
And I think that's what we heard. You have the all-in proposal, do it, $25 million, and the whole shebang. But what I've heard is that there is an interest of doing more quicker changes to the signage that reflect what we've learned from this all-in approach, and start on an incremental approach. Incremental not being station by station, but incremental might be by specific upgrade.
All right. Thank you very much. Members have the subsequent planning and development committee agendas before them. We were now going to move. And I'm going to hand the gavel over to Mr. Deegan, and we'll move right into the real estate committee. Did you want to change seats, or do you want to? Okay. In that case,
amazing.
Planning Development's adjourned. Thank you very much.
We'll call real estate to order.